Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Couldn't
hey,
time that one better.
All
right. Woo-hoo. That's a little loud, but that's good groovy tunes, you know.
I like the reggae.
Good Wednesday night vibe. Just hanging
Absolutely.
In the studio here over at Tumbleweeds Health Center. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis.
We have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news, and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
Belle Starr here and Lady Luck with me tonight, and we've got a little four-way of patients out here to be with us with our incredible interview. We have a live interview tonight with Doug Fine, everybody. This is awesome. He's here in our studio, and we're going to share Doug
yeah,
with you tonight.
That
awesome.
Should be awesome.
So call or email or blog your questions. 646-915-8421 is the number to do that. We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center for hosting the special show tonight, along with certifications. You'll find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. And guess what, everyone? They, no one's guessing, I'll tell you. Tumbleweeds Health Center celebrating 1 year.
1 year!
They made it.
Great.
They made it. Yes, November 10th, 2012. Everybody, come down for a big celebration. Right at Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5301 East Broadway. We are going to have incredible giveaways. We've got raffles for free certifications, free memberships. We've got vendors from the
That's
cannabis.
That's very generous. That's wonderful.
Oh, it's incredible. Vendors from the cannabis industry will be here giving away gifts and prizes, AZ Med Testing, Stealth Products, Holy Smokes will be here, Easy Vape will be here, all sorts of vapor smoke. Yeah.
So these are vapor the vaporizers smoke. That have the flavor spell?
No, that's Holy Smoke. So
oh,
and
that's
there's
Holy
a
smoke.
That's
okay.
A different product. The vapor smoke is the product you use for cannabis, and you can smoke with it, vaporize with it, or atomize with it if you have some oils or hashes.
Also, 3-in-1. That's
it's
great.
It's a 3-in-1 thing. Absolutely. It's awesome. We would like to thank amongst those awesome people donating to the celebration, we've got the Growers House. They'll be there. Well, they might come, but they're definitely going to donate some prizes. If you are looking to cultivate, if you live in the Tucson area or you shop for hydroponics online, visit Growers House at 227 East Valencia or growershouse.com.
For wholesale priced hydroponics equipment, Growers House offers free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee. Not to mention Growers House staff are experienced growers, which help you get started and succeed in your growing endeavors.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we want, success in the growing.
Also, AZ Med Testing at azmedtest.com. They check our meds for cannabinoid characteristics to make sure they're clean, there's no aliens having too many parties in there.
Loving it.
And they make sure our THC, CBD, CBN levels are good, appropriate, and helping our patients. Also, Mary Jane Survival Guide, mjsurvival.com, an excellent Arizona
wonderful
and all-around patient resource guide, recipes, legal advice. They've got little journals you can keep of your own meds. And we would also like to give a little shout-out this evening. There's a big case here in Arizona on Friday. And Butch and Shauna up in the White Mountains there, they're going up against the town up there who denied their application for a dispensary and did so illegally. So they are having an event this evening in support of that. And you can check out www.saveazmmj.org. Check it out. It's an important case for Arizona and actually nationally. It's might set precedence for how our states and our cities deal with what the propositions that they have legally created and how they can and cannot limit people from actually following through what the state says they can do. So
they do need and deserve the backup. I agree with that. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So tune in. And that, again, is saveazmmj.org. Well, we have a great evening tonight. We've got a song that we're going to play, actually, from a friend of mine from the Bay Area. He's got a song. It is called Mary Jane Blue's Outlaw Life. We'll play that later. It's a history of the song. It was written up in Treat Yourself magazine, which is down here at Tumbleweeds. It was co-written by Jerry Beisler, who writes often for Treating Yourself. So enjoy, our friend says, and we will. We'll do that later after our interview. So let's talk with Doug. He's here hanging out, and we're having just a great time. We're having a little soiree. We're all having a little Chinese food and just having a nice evening. I'm going to let Doug finish his bite there, and I'm going to read a little bit about him, although he knows this. You may not. And you'll find this on Doug's website. Doug, quick announcement. What's your website?
DougFine.com.
Ow, that's easy. You can all remember that one.
Yeah.
After being raised on Domino's Pizza and Brady Bunch reruns, Doug Fine's method of journalistic investigation was to strap on a backpack and travel to five continents to the nooks where the world's then-moneyed media venues weren't sending their people. The deciders at these venues tended to be delighted to have a whippersnapper beam back colorful dispatches for poorly remunerated publications as long as he didn't identify himself as an employee of said venues. Complicated insurance ramifications for torture treatment might ensue. Wow. All right.
Mouthful.
That is.
Yes.
Well, as a young freelancer, Fine reported in this manner for the Washington Post, Salon, U.S. News and World Report, Sierra, Wired, Outside, National Public Radio, and other venues from little visited jungle war zones like Burma, Rwanda, Laos, Guatemala, and Tajikistan. Okay. He became a world-class adventure writer and investigative journalist, writing culturally insightful and funny dispatches. One of these about democracy efforts in Burma was read into the U.S. Congressional Record. And if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and you want to finish reading about Doug, that would be great. But I think we should just start talking to him. He's here. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
How are you?
Well, better for having met you guys. The message that I'm carrying forth around the country now on the book tour is that we're winning. We basically won. It's just a question of what the terms are going to be of the treaty. That's paraphrasing someone. Do you guys know about the Santa Cruz dispensary, the women's collective that got raided 10 years ago? And
no.
So it was quite a landmark case because, gosh, we're getting off on a tangent right away. But,
do it.
I'm sure. Please call in, you guys, because it's like, Women's Collective of Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz is Women Collective, like something like that. It has women in it, in the name. And so they got raided a number of times, federal raids, 10 years ago. And what was unique and landmark about what happened was the feds made an agreement with them that they would leave them alone if they operated within certain parameters, which people are taking as precedent for federal acknowledgement of the legitimacy of any kind of cannabis operation anywhere in the U.S. of any kind. And so besides the fact that they're just awesome and they're still at it, and it was the 10-year anniversary of their raid, and one of their founders said, yeah, we've won. It's just a question of the terms of surrender, right? So proof for that comes from me. It's easy to say that Santa Cruz, California, right? I'm making peace signs right now. To come and see the chill scene of medical cannabis flourishing here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, deserve it or not. I know Tucson's not that Arizona, but it's still
true.
Arizona.
It's still Arizona.
So right on and congratulations. Arkansas voters have cannabis on the ballot. I know some activists who are starting a show me state drive in Missouri. So we're winning.
Yeah.
In the heartland, everywhere.
Absolutely.
Thanks for what you do here.
I love that.
And
that's
thanks
great.
To you. We're actually, succeeding in this. It's all about education and information, which is seemingly what you're out there doing. But my question is, it's just in reading, Farewell. I didn't read the books yet. I apologize. We'll get there. I need picture books. Farewell to Subaru and Too High to Fail. What you did in Farewell to Subaru by just basically giving up your entire life to live an all-natural way of being and then going Too High to Fail to talk to our government about the financial possibilities and successes we could have as a nation. What made you go dump your Subaru and go live in the jungle and then come back and do the cannabis thing. Like, what?
It was a pretty easy transition, but most people don't see it, so I'm glad I get to talk about it. It's the program that I followed in California. So the deal is, like, the drug war was getting way too close to home. I had a neighbor, a retiree, get raided for, like, 11 plants before New Mexico started. I live on a ranch in New Mexico. And then, meanwhile, there was a mayor of Columbus, sleepy town, except for when Pancho Villa invaded, who just was a cartel member supplying arms south. All that was his, like, role in the cartel for, like, years, unmolested. Tax dollars are going to the wrong people. And I'm not mad, even at the drug warriors. I really think it's just a job for them at this point. You know what I mean? The budget's been going on for so long, for 40 years. A lot of people make a living from it. It's kind of like the Vietnam War. If you were a soldier, that's what you did. And but it was getting way, way too close to home to have, you know, people with earpieces and machine guns in the river crossing. I have to get across to get out of my ranch.
Wow.
I thought I was in trouble for a petition I had signed against fracking. But it turned out it was my neighbor getting raided for, you know, his retiree ARB member.
Oh, no.
For like 11, with his massive, it was called like a pot of money, I'm paraphrasing, it was close to something, Interagency Narcotics Interdiction Task Force, like a billion different agencies and trucks and vehicles and like to get this old man and God.
Poor guy.
Fighting the drug war. So anyway, I didn't want to just whine about drug war's bad because Americans know that. I wanted to tell a story of what the next thing might look like, to have the proof of what it would be like. And a number of places have full on done it. Mendocino County did it with sustainability guidelines written in, outdoor growing requirements, non-diversion requirements. Like, it was a continuation of Farewell My Subaru, really, because a sustainable farm under God's sun is what you're going for. Ideally, we can get more into that, like outdoor versus indoor, because it's an interesting and complicated discussion.
Sure is,
yeah. It is.
But that's why I chose
a radio show.
Mendocino.
Right.
So, and the other thing I want to say is it's so great to be all the, patients and federal agents who are listening to this broadcast right now. Like, I'm so glad to be speaking to those folks, but I also, and this is the first time I've ever eaten Chinese food. Thank you, guys. Sitting on the couch doing the radio.
All right.
There's a million reasons why I come and be on this show anytime. But I'm going for converting the supposedly 46% of Americans that are left to wanting to fully end cannabis prohibition. And others forget the rescheduling nonsense.
Right.
Get out of the control.
Beautiful.
Like that. So that's what I'm going for. I'm really trying to reach mainstream audiences as a dad. You know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing.
And how are you doing that? What's your biggest media?
Well, I'm glad to report, like, supposed mainstream media is way into it. New York Times has reviewed it positively, appeared on, like, talk shows and stuff like that, like Conan O'Brien, and hopefully there'll be some more of those. Yeah, mainstream has been almost universally at least accepting of the discussion, you know what I mean? Business shows on Wall Street, stuff like that, and then, like, next generation media, like Daily Beast and Huffington Post, I got to debate a drug war. HuffPost Live.
Wow. So who do you find that are against what you do? Or what kind of people are they?
There seems to be very few. Like, I've done hour-long call-in shows in the Heartland in Wisconsin, like the NPR call-in shows, and on the Beltway in Maryland. And both times the host, like three-quarters of the way through, had to be like, all right, listen, callers, if you agree with, you know, Doug's premise about the drug piece here, cool, we get it. But will someone call in and argue why we should keep the drug war going? And in the time, could they get anybody to call in? So, I'm just waltzing in, I feel like, after all the hard work that people have done.
So you're not finding much resistance?
No, there's the same couple of paid drug warriors that come on when the media venue wants to feel like they're having a debate. It's a joke. It's just a waste of time. It's like trying to sideswipe the real discussion into, oh, all the kids are going to be going to kindergarten with a joint in their mouth. Like, okay, let's keep the 40-year-old longest, most expensive war that's made us the most imprisoned culture in history. Let's keep that going another 40 years and trillion taxpayers to no effect on supply and demand just because you're scaring people. I'm a father.
Right.
I
You're
want
not
my
scaring
kids
me.
To be sober. I think they're going to be safer
yeah,
when the cartels
absolutely.
Are crippled in my border region of New Mexico, you know?
Well, and you want them to live an honest life, which is what, you know, and some people use it for medicine and some people don't, and that's up to them. But regardless of what they use it for, they should be able to say that they use it without feeling guilty, you know? People come into Tumbleweeds and I've heard them say mm-hmm. things like, I want the kind that doesn't make you paranoid. And I say, well, that you should talk to your government about because they're the ones that did that. But because if they said bubble gum was illegal, you'd feel bad for chewing gum. I mean,
exactly.
And it's, you know, it would be the cookie industry saying that. Don't chew gummy cookies, you know? So.
Well, please, could you enlighten me? Tell me a non-medicinal use of cannabis.
Well, good question. I mean, there's the whole recreational end. Some people like to just feel good, and for them, that's not a medical thing.
How is that not medical?
How is that not health maintenance?
That's what I said for them. That's not a medical thing. Some people don't like to call it medicine because it's not labeled for that for them.
Feel good, it's still, I think, medicinal because you're still trying to feel good or taking something to make yourself feel better.
Sure, but there are a lot of people that just like to smoke pot that don't want to call it a medicine. So some people don't call it a medicine. They just say, this is cannabis, this is this. And you use it and you can call it medicine. Or some people call it medicine, some people don't. But the argument for recreational or medicinal should be the same. The argument should be, why don't you just let someone make a decision how it affects, what affects their body and what they should use for it, really?
Yeah, and that's why Republicans and Libertarians should be coming on board to all this. But, you know, the reason why I asked the question was, you know, the take I've been giving has to do with a farmer that one of the farmers that I follow in the Medicine Economy, we had this conversation. But his take was one that I agree with, which is if you drink a glass of red wine after a hard day of dentistry or, you know, computer software designing or whatever you do, we acknowledge that as health maintenance and as actually concretely lowering health costs just from the stress reduction end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that wine drinker might not be calling some, you know, expensive bottle of wine that he bought somewhere. You might not be explicitly calling it medicine, but
mm-hmm.
If you were to ask that person, do you feel like it's part of your health routine? I bet most people would acknowledge that for
sure.
A daily glass of wine or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of a mental health routine.
Absolutely.
Where you get to go home and look forward to something to go home to. Even if you are alone, it's just a bowl to go home to. Sometimes that's enough. I mean,
but just call it what you want. All I was saying is, I think that, you know, whether you call it recreational or medicinal, people should have the opportunity to decide for themselves whether it or not it is for them. And you know, that's what they say at Tumbleweeds. It's for some people and not for others.
Absolutely,
it's not for everybody. It's like any Tylenol or anything like that. But that's a different discussion.
That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. So we have, where's your Subaru now? I just looked at my questions. Where is it?
Actually sitting on my ranch, just kind of, yeah. And when it was fading, it was like, it would work. Like it started, I think, in second, and then it would, I didn't like either third or fourth. Like I think you had to go from second to fifth, and most of the time that would get you there. So a friend needed a ride for a while after I bought what I call and throw my Subaru, my row at my ridiculously oversized American truck that I drive my vegetable up. So he needed a vehicle and he drove it till that transmission finally died. So now it's just sitting on the
statue.
Until the Smithsonian wants it. That's
there you go. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Someone will want it. There you go. That's a big donation right there.
That's a good one.
Vegetable oil. Did you do that yourself? Like, how did you know how to...
No,
make an engine go vegetable oil.
I didn't, but this story is told in Pearl Masseur, so everybody should read the book. Here's what I have to say about vegetable oil. Soon after I arrived in Mendocino County in 2011, got there on Valentine's Day 2011 and stayed for a whole growing season, I followed one American-grown, tax revenue-generating, crime-reducing, organically grown, locavore plant flower, actually, named Lucille, from a locally derived strain called Cashmere Kush. From farm to patient. So I can talk more about that. But right after I got there and the season had started and I was doing my interviews and connected with a bunch of cool farmers who were willing to bravely let me report on them with their real names and real finances and everything, I'm cruising out to go do a speaking event for Farewell My Subaru, a sustainability thing. I'm driving in the row at and vegetable oil. And pretty much the minute I get out of Mendocino County, I'm profiled by a Sonoma County Narcotics Task Force, pulled over under a billboard reading, "Grab Some Buds." It's an Anheuser-Busch.
No, that's awesome.
Featuring the New York Giants taking the field.
Oh my God.
Have you seen the slogan? Do they have that around here? Grab Some Buds?
Yeah.
And so the thing about that is they know what they're saying. They're saying, drink our beer, smoke a joint, American pie, apple pie, go
there
Giants,
you go.
USA,
there you go. Yeah.
4th of July, it's all good.
Yeah.
And so I'm pulled over, profiled, falsely told that the car smells like cannabis. Awesome for the book. Awesome for the book. Except that I was late to the airport in Oakland. I've never been on the wrong side of a police car before. It was absolutely terrific for the book to see how our drug war money is being spent while my kids' car seats are getting thrown all over the place.
Oh,
and,
sad.
Well, honestly, I mean, no. Luckily, my family wasn't around, or we wouldn't have been profiled actually if their kids were in the truck probably. But yeah. In any event, I came out of that and went back to one of the farmers that I was following, a different farmer named Matt Cohen, later raided, who was tragic because he was really fighting the cartels, fighting for American farmers, and the sheriff came to his birthday party people that ran this permitting program that I was following, and I can tell you more about the program. But anyway, I came back and I told Matt, "Oh my God, I don't believe this! I got pulled over outside of Sonoma, like the minute I got out of that." And he's like, "Dude, you're bumping out of Mendocino County a male in a beard and a pickup truck? Of course they're going to profile you." He's like, "Let me guess, Bob Marley was, blasting out of there." I'm like, "It was Peter Tosh, but..."
Yeah.
Forgot why I was telling that story in the first place. Something about the Budweiser sign. What were we talking about before that?
Oh, my goodness. Total segue. Vegetable oil
So
where is the Subaru now?
What others said was that, maybe they just got the munchies from your exhaust. that's why they pulled you over. Like, they just wanted to grab some buzz, and they figured they'd do what the billboard said and grab it from a farmer. And I was like, well, why would the Sonoma Narcotics Squad have the munchies in the first place?
Uh-huh. Let's think about that one. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
What's in those donuts?
Of course.
Medicated donuts. There you go. Hey, that's right. One day. Do you have your donut today, Officer Smith?
I mean, that would be like...
No.
You're absolutely right on that one.
So, speaking of... Well, I'm not going to go Homer Simpson, but vegetable oil. tell us about hemp and cannabis and how good it is for our planet.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to solve the energy crisis and, like, come to the end of America's...
Oh, yeah.
Barn oil, it's like North Dakota and Kentucky and all those places can start growing industrial cannabis again. And
but how and why? Tell people who are listening to the show that have no idea what hemp even is. Like, why would you use that instead of a tree?
Do you think, honestly, because I have psyched to launch into that spiel, but I just want to say, do you really think there are people who are like, gee, I don't know anything about the cannabis plant. I'm going to tune into to this Tumbleweeds radio show?
Who knows? It's the internet. There are over 6,000 listeners so far.
We would
only hope
5,000 of
somebody
them
could
like
be overhearing
on board
it.
And 1,000 are some sort of law enforcement.
Yeah, somebody
there you
could
go.
Be overhearing it. Somebody
maybe
could
we're
be, you know.
Law enforcement.
We hope they're all listening.
Well, yeah, all
and
of
we
them.
Hope they all
we
call
invite
in.
Them all.
You're Americans too, law enforcement.
Blog in.
Stuff.
I know. Call in, blog in. But here's your little lesson right here. Here is why this is, and here's why our founding forefathers, who came over and created this beautiful country of ours. Here's why they use hemp.
So Doug.
Terrific introduction. Thank
you.
So I was giving a different talk on the sustainability thing. That's the petroleum, how to get petroleum free when you're in the digital age at the Fort Collins Sustainability Festival. And I was in the speaker's van, like kind of driving around to get behind the stage. And in there with me was the USDA's expert on biofuels. And she was just awesome. Like I was riveted by what she was telling me, because I had written a book on this topic and she was introducing me to biofuels I hadn't heard of. One called Hatropha with a J that can like filter out toxins from toxic surfaces to toxic waste dumps, and then is tested dense with the cellulose to sort of lipid ratio in the plant is really good for biofuel. So she was telling me about all these different ones, And when she was done, I just started research on the book that became Too High to Fail, and I said, what about industrial cannabis? And she's like, oh, yeah, no, best there is. It's like 3 or 4 times the per acre biofuel yield than any other biofuel. And basically we could end our foreign oil addiction immediately if we use that instead of corn and soy. And like, I just remember, like, because it's like the bumpy road on the stage in Colorado. I'm like, but and I was like, but? And she was like, well, don't you know, it's a Schedule 1 felony. I can't even publicly talk about it. Like, it's not even on the blackboard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, too bad for America. She's like, yep, too bad for America. Anyway, nice meeting you. And I was like,
too bad for America. Oh, well.
Wow.
So in Germany, okay, so by the way, we're not talking about the magnificent hemp seed oil here, which I squeeze into my morning shake. Let's really pretend we're listening. We're talking to non-knowledgeable people. Completely non-psychoactive. You can get it in your grocery store. That was a victory about 10 years ago. None of it can be grown here, enriching our economy, as the non-liberal North Dakota agricultural commissioner has been begging, because he sees 1 inch north in Canada there. Industrial cannabis market's growing 20% per year. You know, I have to buy hemp twine for my tomato lines at Walmart, grown in Romania. Like,
wow.
I mean, isn't that why we fought the American Revolution, you know? To be, like, independent in our economy.
Wow, that's next.
So we're not talking about rendering the seed oil, which is a perfectly omega balanced oil and great to eat at all time, very 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 healthy food. We're talking about here fermentation of the otherwise unusable parts of the stalk, the cellulose. And so a county, I guess it is, in Germany, and this is from your Times article, became 100% energy independent and ended their unemployment. 50% to 0% unemployment by doing this. It was a rural Bavarian county, I believe, and they had all the farmers take everything that would otherwise be composted or whatever, or burned or thrown away, to the fermentation facility. And that's like, people can fill up on ethanol from that, and a power plant runs on it, and it's like the whole town is totally energy independent from their local crops and have reduced unemployment. So I think cannabis farmers can be doing that too, locally, regionally, or just like from Monster Field in North Dakota or whatever. That is how I really believe we may have a solution to our energy problem on the industrial side. Did I explain that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and all
amazing.
And you know, a solution for, like you were saying, you know, jobs and all sorts of stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, what other countries out there, as you take a giant bite of your Szechuan chicken, I'm going to ask you a deep question. No, I'm just kidding.
Some Chinese food and then try and interview them.
Yes, that's great. I know there.
I
know. You sure did. That was a protein bite right there. Yeah, there are a lot of other countries, and we know this medicine has been, or this plant, let's just even call it what it is.
Yeah.
Beautiful plant, been used for thousands of years, you know, by so many other cultures, not here. As we are a fairly new country, but I think it stands that we, you know, really need to open our eyes and ears and minds and look at that. You know, I think there was a quote someone said, and I don't remember the doctor's name, but cannabis has been used. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to find the quote and get it to you next week. It was a good one, but I can't even remember it. It needs to be specific.
We'll
but
hold you to that.
Fill in cool quote here.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Go.
So just so you don't feel so bad, I saw an error in the New York Times that was reprinted in the New Yorker that said, I'm paraphrasing here, because the New Yorker always prints like mistakes that newspapers make. And so it was like, one reason the economic stimulus plan might not have worked was that interest rates were too high. And then the reporter wrote, and no editor caught, parentheses, and another example here, you know, and just like that ran in the New York Times. And another example here.
No way.
Yeah, so, a little editing tool.
Yeah.
But we'll use that from now on.
What was it? Was doctor's quote?
Yeah.
Doctor's quote here.
No, raisin doctor.
Raisin doctor.
Yeah.
Well, here's an ancient thing. The oldest medical handbook from China, you guys probably know this. The oldest still existing medical handbook is from China, like 3,000 years old, and it's full of cannabis remedies.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Let's get a hold of that. Maybe we'll replace empathy with some of those articles. Yeah, we only have a couple of weeks left. We got to find something new. Beth, you know, I mean, Betsy Ross made our first American flag with hemp. Come on, people.
Thomas Jefferson wrote the draft of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Canvas from the word cannabis covered wagons that settled Arizona.
That's right.
There's an RV park, by the way, outside of Tucson. Somebody told me about that, has at the front entrance, like just a decaying, you know, wagon from that era. It says Tucson's first RV.
Ah, that's great.
Oh, nice.
Have RV, we'll travel. There you go.
Yeah, really.
Oh, goodness.
You know, the debate was held in Hempstead, New York, wasn't it?
Well, see? Hempstead, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder where that name came from.
Yeah, I wonder.
Let's Hempstead.
Yeah,
let's,
I know. It's acceptable for all the presidential candidates to admit that they have tried cannabis. You know, it's such a big deal with Bill Clinton, and now nobody cares.
Right.
So, like you said, we're winning.
Baby steps, and it's happening, you know. I mean, look what happened when they ended this all in 37. I mean, it was used as a medicine up until 37.
Yeah, the American Medical Association was really against that vote. California's Medical Association, 35,000 strong, mainstream medical organization, the nation's largest state medical organization, voted unanimously last year to call for fully ending the war on drugs, not reclassification,
get it over with.
Get called it a failed policy, pull cannabis out of the Controlled Substances Act. It doesn't belong there.
And what do you think about reclassification or that? I mean, what's your, when you think about cannabis in the future, what do you see our country doing with it in a good way?
Well, everything's a step forward, you know, I think. Everything that's a development away from prohibition is terrific. All fronts, we seem to be winning on all fronts. The hearing on the lawsuit by the Americans for Safe Access against the DEA is being heard this week to get the reclassification of cannabis out of Schedule 1, where it's, of course, it's absurd. For those who aren't familiar, that means you're now officially classified as having no medical use and more dangerous than, what is it, cocaine and meth.
Heroin, yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
gateway drug.
So, all right. So, let's just say something happens, some sort of good decision in that case, or a second-term bone thrown by Obama. To the cannabis, or to the war, to the peace, you know, that he said he was going to declare when he came into office.
Right.
To a Schedule 2. Okay, yeah, you know, acknowledgement, step towards the truth is good. But I don't really see how that helps, first of all, on the health maintenance front. But secondly, it seems like it's going to allow research more towards pharmaceuticals, concentrate, like chemical derivatives and concentrates, as opposed to whole plant being available in whole foods for adults to use, or you know, in a convenience store or whatever it is. So,
and when you say adults, are you talking 18 or 21?
That's a really great, great question. You know, in the book, I propose 19, and the reason is because I'm one of these, if you can vote and fight for your country, you should be able to drink or do whatever. I also know that it is true that young people just, we're not fully formed, or many of us aren't, you know.
Right.
I'm certainly no younger than 18, but I know, right, I wasn't fully formed.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
At that age, making good decisions. But still, if you're going to be able to vote and fight, go to war, be drafted, and cannabis is legal for everybody else, it should be legal for you as well. So.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah. Well, and I think if the doctors want to prescribe it, recommend it, refer it to, you know, people under that age, then that should be their prerogative as well.
Oh, that, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different story. I can't even believe that we debate this.
I know.
For medical, it's
exactly.
Like, what about the pills and nonsense that are given to preteens, these horrible pharmaceutical chemicals? Are you kidding me?
The ADHD revolution is so disgusting. Oh. And these kids are getting just hooked on just uppers. And, it's rampant. I mean, what do you think about that? People speak about cannabis as if it's just a horrible thing, but I mean, then there's
Sister,
people.
I am against kids being addicted.
Absolutely.
To stuff.
I agree with you.
I know it's a bold statement, I don't think kids should get addicted to stuff.
Well, and no, they shouldn't. And like you were saying, there's some, you know, because we know people at 18, I don't know if I could have made those decisions or not. But I think kids these days are growing up way too fast, facing way more, you know, important decisions too young. But still, I don't know that they're mentally available to make those kinds of decisions if it's a psychoactive thing. But
better cannabis than alcohol, that's for sure.
Right, and on the other end of that, there are some 18-year-olds that are more responsible than I know of some 15, 60-year-olds today. So, I mean, where, how do you judge that? Where do you draw the line on that? And who makes that decision? Who ultimately makes that decision?
It's better to have a little bit of a shady guideline if it's something like cannabis that is virtually way less harmful than alcohol, like you were saying. I mean, you know, you have 21-year-olds, and let's face it, we all weren't making the best decisions at 21 either. And still, you know, people go out at 21 and drink till they puke. Now, people are out there smoking cannabis, and it's just kind of a happy transition into the next phase. So,
well, who should make that decision? From listening to you guys, I think one thing I know is it should be women.
So what
well,
makes
thank you
say
for
women
that.
So much?
No, seriously, just for folks who haven't been down here, is it good to okay to invite people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can come and get all the information they want. We'll let them know what they need to do to get certified or be a part of this, not be a part of this, whatever they want. We're here but to educate.
I'm not saying that it's an awesome place because it's women run. It's just an awesome place, and it's
double whammy. Thank you.
He's just bragging because we, you know,
it's a Chinese food. I knew it. He's just happy. Blueberry and Chinese food.
Chinese meal would make me.
Could have been the blueberry.
It could be the blueberry. The blueberry will do that too.
No, he's happy with his new environmental pen from Tumbleweeds Health Center. Awesome. I pulled out some quotes from presidents. I don't know if you want me to go there, but. Just something we could talk about.
Is that true? I saw the Abraham Lincoln. I'd be very careful because I'm too out of bail. I quote a lot of people, like Albert Einstein speaking out against prohibition, all this stuff. And for a lot of the super famous ones, there's all these websites that say they're myths. Not just the, that the Abraham Lincoln one. I really want to know. I don't know if that one's true or not, but I remember not including it maybe because there was some. What did Abraham Lincoln say? There's nothing I like better than sitting on my porch
smoking it.
Sweet hemp pipe.
Yep.
Playing my harmonica.
Well, who can blame him? I mean, he had to deal with. Look what the guy had to deal
and that
with.
Was
I mean, talk about
19th president, 16th president. Holy cow! Think about the 15 before him.
Seriously.
Really? I mean, that's that's fantastic, and these are people that. It was a his diary entry. Yeah, 1745 planted. Hemp seed by Muddy Swamp. And what was it? We saw another one. It was a follow-up to that.
Oh.
About how... it didn't grow well. Maybe it was too muddy.
Poor guy.
Move over a foot, George. You drowned your seed. A little more heat, guy. Oh, awesome. Well, this has been totally awesome. Let's just go for another few hours here. Well, one, we've got this... so much information down here at Tumbleweeds, but there's normal.org, one of the organizations for reforming medical legalization. I forget how you say the whole thing, but there's a little pamphlet down here, and there's a quote. There's several quotes by Mitt Romney and President Obama, and they're about cannabis. And Mitt Romney says, people talk about medical marijuana, and you know, you hear that story. People who are sick need medical marijuana, but marijuana is the entry drug for people trying to get kids hooked on drugs. I don't want medical marijuana. There are synthetic forms of marijuana that are available for people who need it for prescription. Don't open the doorway to medical marijuana. That was his 2007 statement. And then in 2012, he said this, industrial hemp. I'm not quite sure what industrial hemp is. And then there was a question to him from, this was a Tilton School meeting, meet and greet, January 6, 2012. Are you in favor of arresting medical marijuana patients? And Romney said, I'm in favor of the law not allowing legal medical or legal marijuana.
Well, what does he think about cannabis maybe treating his wife? Doesn't she have MS? Or
MS. I think
she
has
either
like
MS
that.
Or fibromyalgia.
I think it's MS.
And I would be interested to ask him what he thinks if medical cannabis helps his wife.
Well, you know, here, let's speak to Arizona here. I think a lot of us in the Southwest take the Second Amendment, is that fair?
Yes.
Very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you Arizonans, you may or may not be aware that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in 2011 issued a new rule that state-permitted medical cannabis patients anywhere in the current 17 medical cannabis, which might increase by several, including Arkansas and Massachusetts. Go voters in those states.
Yay!
No longer are allowed to bear arms in the United States. Whacked on OxyContin, fire away.
Oh, yeah. Shoot them up. Bang, bang, bang. I know. Vicodin, morphine.
If you are a medical
or those, even the legal stuff, the bath salts or whatever they're selling at the smoke shops that make you nuts. And, I mean, come on. Really? Have you ever met a stoner who's like, I'm going to go kill somebody?
I also know a lot of veterans who are into their gun collections for various reasons who served their country and now aren't allowed to bear arms because they're treating their war wounds from serving their country with cannabis. There's a couple of guys quoted in Too High to Fail who are quite unclean.
Yeah,
I would
be unclean.
They have every right to be.
Well, and yeah, they just need to look at their whole prescription drug program. And make a little comparison here.
I don't need somebody with Vicodin having an AK.
Plus, it's up
working.
To us. Forget these presidential nincompoops. It's up to us. First of all, forget Romney. There's no chance for anything good happening with the war on drugs. America's won the most expensive war under him. All we can do is hope that Obama would go back to what he said before he was elected,
right,
which is that the war on drugs, he said this quote, an utter failure, and we need to decriminalize our cannabis laws. That's a Barack Obama quote. And so it's like, I know people who canvassed for him in Florida, went to change their state, moved to get this guy elected just because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the only hope, and it's going to take people power. There's no support in the U.S. Senate right now.
Oh, it's going to take a ton of people power. Yeah.
We're winning on all fronts. Keep doing what you're doing. For like folks listening or for anybody who has money to contribute to candidates, it's let a candidate know on the federal level. Let your federal candidates know, whoever your congressperson candidate is and also your senators, that you're voting on this issue, removing cannabis from the Controlled Substances Act and letting states regulate it like alcohol. The funny thing is that it's a politically popular move in most places. That's what politicians don't realize. That actually, it's actually going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you do that, like in terms of polls and whatnot, even in the heartland, people are into it.
Well, and I think that's why President Obama had, one of the reasons, like you said, there was a big following because, people took his word for word and expected him to follow through with what he said he was going to do with that. And instead, it turned out, if you see, what's going on in California and things like that, the places like Oaksterdam, which we found out is up and running still, it's awesome. But they try to take places like that down that make no sense whatsoever when it's just a matter of education. But to the government, it does make sense to take an educational facility down because they're the ones telling everybody the opposite of what the government is saying, which is this is a safe plant. And this is something that can be very helpful, not only medicinally, but as food and industry and paper and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the list goes on. And I'm sure your book has just an entire list of the ways that cannabis can help our planet. Does it?
Oh, it does. But also, so one of the farmers that I followed in the book, so the permitting plant amendments, allows you to get by zip ties from the sheriff's department. So all your plants would need zip tied up to 99 because the federal 17 level minimum for conspiracy kicks in at 100 plants. So respecting federal law consciously, all the sustainability guidelines I was telling you, everybody loved this program. It raised money for the sheriff's department, saved 7 deputy jobs at a time of budget cuts. It was a total success. It was going to spread all over the Emerald Triangle this year. It was going to have thousands of farmers raising millions of dollars, lowering crime, hurting the cartels, all good. And first they came and raided the real spokesman, farmer Matt Cohen, machine gun point, kept him and his wife separated for 8 hours, no access to attorneys. Harvested the plants days before harvest. 3,300 patients, including a liver cancer patient that I followed, were deprived of their organic local medicine. Had to go back basically in the dark street corners.
Right.
So Oh, why was I telling that sad story? Because when I went to the DEA, I called the DEA spokesman in Washington, D.C., and said, why was Northstone Organics in California raided? And he said, nonprofit, by the way, that Matt had only started collecting salary in the previous few months. So after 5 years, or whatever many years he was in operation, he had collected a grand total of $57,000 in salary. And so Rusty Payne, the DEA public affairs guy, any of you federal agents listening to the broadcast tonight, please tell Rusty, I said, hi, he's doing a great job. I said, why was Northstone Organics busted? And he said, well, I've never heard of them. They were busted because they were breaking the law. And I said, okay, well, what would you guys feel like if the Controlled Substances Act changed? He said, well, I'm glad you asked that question. People are always whining to us that they don't like these raids that we're doing. Well, tell everybody out there that if you don't like a law, go to Congress. Our job is to enforce the Controlled Substances Act. And I felt like there's that scene in the Bible where the prophet is sent by, like, some seer is sent by a king to curse the Israelites as they go through, but it comes out as a blessing. And I think that's the message there. Like, Rusty was trying to be derisive, I think. But actually, I think that really is actually the answer. I think the answer is we have to just demand it mm-hmm. of our federal officials immediately mm-hmm. without cease. They're trying not to listen. They're not talking about it in the debates. They ignore the town hall. They laugh it off, but only for so long. You know?
Yeah, and that's just it. Only for so long, though.
Yeah.
Those people will be out of office and whenever in the coming years. And then, you know, slowly things, they're changing. It's moving. It's happening. How about if we take a quick break here? I know we're almost done with the show, but, you know, we always go over, so we're going to do it. We're going to go over a little. But we are going to play a song here, and it is called Mary Jane Blues, Outlaw Life. And the song was written, it was written up in Treating Yourself magazine. It was co-written by Jerry Beisler, who often writes for Treating Yourself. So this is a treat from Cole Tate. We thank you very much. And for our listeners, here comes Mary Jane Outlaw right now. All right. Nice You're job. Listening to We Say Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. That was a fun little song. We're here in the studio with Doug Fine, hanging out, having some Chinese food on the couches. Well, they got the couches. We got the hard chairs.
I know. But
that's because I mistakenly set up the computer in the wrong spot. My bad. Oh. See? I guess I missed that message. I missed the memo. I'm not Intel. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Cannabis users or not, law enforcement, senators, doctors, lawyers, anybody, thank you for tuning in. We're having a great night. Doug Fine's awesome. We're going to keep him here for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yes, we are. And he loves being here.
Hey, Doug, right? How would you like to do the honors of helping me read Hempathy?
Oh, all right, sure.
This is Doug was checking this book out before. This is, what's that? It is quite a tradition.
Come over there.
Oh, no, I'll bring it right over. I'll come over there. So what we usually do is we describe the pictures. So I'll let you go first.
We describe our photos to our listeners so they feel like they're in on the book. And then
just
you
to
read,
let every
you read the why, and then I'll do this and do the why not.
Just like about an hour ago.
And so Doug put his hat on, everybody, for this part.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Just so everybody knows.
I really did it to make
it looks great. It looks wonderful.
That was great. Well, we'll tell you, and we'll tell Doug a little bit. Hempathy, food for thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience, world at large. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant. So you can check out www.why-whynot.net. And here we go, Doug. Take it away. Tell us about the why.
The why today is labeled a meat-based culture. And it features a couple. Bless them. We're all created from the same sort of stuff, right? Like, the Big Bang created all of us. So I'm not going to criticize these people as their lifestyle is right or wrong. However, they do, if you are what you eat,
oh yeah,
they look like fattened up pigs. And they're holding a remote control and a six-pack. And, the paragraph, the writing is all, I don't know, are we going to read or one of us going to read? But it's either way, well, it's basically about the paraphrase. The cliff notes are that it's the damage to the earth that a commercial-based meat industry. I want to speak in defense of certain ecosystems. Like, when I lived in Alaska, salmon made sense. There are certain places where wild meat still makes sense. But certainly a lot less of it for most people is the way to go. So that's the why. So anyway, so that's the environmental damage. But you can see from the brilliant, brilliant photo, they've got, like, multiple satellite dishes on their mobile home behind them. And,
it's like they sit around a lot.
Yeah.
Budweiser shirt happening, six-pack in one hand.
They look really unhealthy.
Very.
I like to see the couple together, though. I mean, they don't look like they're bad people or anything.
Maybe uneducated. Yeah. There you go. We're going to educate them. You want to read that?
Okay. It's hard to eat healthy, by the way. You have to be
It is
so
very
conscious.
Hard to eat healthy.
America makes it really easy to be unhealthy.
I just am shoveling sesame chicken into my gullet and reading and making fun of a meat-based culture. But I should say, before these guys left so kindly pick up the phone, I had a change of heart. Because I hear them going, like, well, can I have, like, the sauce not be meat-based? And I'm like, oh, I should order the tofu. It's no better. What am I doing? Ordering non-organic chicken.
All right.
Why? A meat-based culture. The livestock industry contributes on a massive scale to air and water pollution, land degradation, climate change, loss of biodiversity, according to a 2006 report by the Livestock Environment and Development Initiative. UN Food and Agricultural Organization estimates that the meat industry is responsible for 18% of all emissions of greenhouse gases. This figure was deemed low in 2009 by two World Watch researchers who estimated 51% minimum. Producing animal-based food requires enormous inputs of water and energy. It's much less efficient than harvesting of grain, vegetables, legumes, seeds, and fruits for direct human consumption. So now you should describe this the much happier why not side.
I get lucky every time. Mel gets to do the green page. And this is great. Well, What's that famous picture of the pitchfork and the wife? What is that American, the all-American couple?
Yeah.
This is the why not. You've got a nice little hippie family, little, well, we don't know if it's a boy or girl because they got braids. It could be either. They're just all natural. They've got their little bucket of organic fruit and vegetables in hand. Their little overalls have a recycled symbol on. Instead of satellites, they've got wind turbines on top of the house with solar panels. And it's a very green photo. In fact, their house is kind of hidden, almost hidden. Their lush green environmental garden they've got going. It says, why not? A vegetable-based culture. Hemp seeds contain all the essential amino acids and essential fatty acids necessary to maintain healthy human life. As Doug was saying, go to the store and get some. No other single plant source provides complete protein in such easily digestible form. The seeds can be eaten raw, ground into a meal, sprouted, made into hemp milk, kind of like soy milk, prepared as tea, used in baking. The fresh leaves can also be eaten in salads. Products include cereals, frozen waffles, hemp tofu, nut butters, just to name a few. A few companies produce value-added hemp seed items that include the seed oil. Whole hemp grain, which is sterilized by law in the United States, de-whole hemp seed, the whole seed without the mineral-rich outer shell. Hemp flour, hemp cake, a byproduct of pressing the seed for oil, and hemp protein powder. Hemp is also used in some organic cereals for non-dairy milk, somewhat similar to soy and nut milk, and for non-dairy hemp ice cream. Approximately 44% of the weight of hemp seed is healthy edible oil. Wow. Containing about 80% essential fatty acids, EFAs, proteins, including Edison, are the other major components, 33%. Second only to soy, 35%. Hemp seeds amino acid profile is close to complete when compared to more common sources like meat, milk, eggs, and soy. Unlike flax seeds, hemp oil can be used continuously without developing a deficiency or other imbalances of EFAs. Wow, that's a mouthful too.
Wait a second, hemp is second to something? I thought hemp is like the number one solve every problem. Like, I want to use it to like fix flat tires.
When was this written? So this, you know what? Paste it up, stick it on the
inside. I bet it's the best tire repair paste.
That would probably be good.
Folks, read up on hemp and go out and
figure out how to do that.
It's a great oil.
Great essential fatty acids. This is an awesome, yeah. And
I bet there's a lot of people out there that go, I can't wait till story time.
I know. We love empathy. Yeah. Well, we can't wait for story time. It is a fun book. It's so awesome.
It's a great
awesome.
Book for Doug, too, because he just believes in the hemp plant through and through.
Yes. Well, and I love that hemp hat.
In the morning. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a great hemp hat.
Have a shirt today?
Oh, look at that. You know what? That was one of my questions I was going to ask about your clothing, if that was something that you did as well.
I have to wear clothing? So the sign coming down to my ranch says, I don't like no trespassing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, pre-announcing your arrival helps avoid accidental gunfire and or unexpected nudity. I'm actually not a total chronic nudist. Like I'm trying to prove something, but there are times when you are surrounded by what you think is just, you know, coyotes and juniper trees, and then you feel you can go out to the laundry line to grab, you know, your boxers
your shorts
overnight.
But naked.
That's when the UPS lady can bring
it. What the?
But she's been warned.
I think
the
I have
is up, she's
dropping off
and
packages
no
daily
ever,
for Doug.
Ever.
Yeah.
They like it. They like see.
I know. Oh, I have to go to Doug's again.
Well,
I'll be doing laundry.
He's home right now. I think.
Now he's flushing. Sorry, we made you flush.
No, I'm thinking about the like letter to the magazine. Like, you wouldn't believe this. The UPS lady came down.
And... Oh, no. Oh my god. Now she's blushing on air.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's funny.
Where were we going? Well,
we never know.
Doug, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
It's awesome.
I can't remember having a better time.
Oh.
In your opinion, so thank you so much for having me, and I hope folks realize what a special resources is and a sign that the drug peace era is coming, that you can be in the heart of Arizona, and this is as chill, as open, and as relaxed, and as great an educational resource as you see in friendly California or you know, chill Colorado. Those are great, you know, but it's, I believe you guys are doing something great. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but
well, thank
to
you.
Take it to the heartland and do the right thing is a sign that we're winning this.
Absolutely, and I like what you said, the drug piece. Peace is our, we don't want to use that word war anymore. Mother Teresa wouldn't. Let's forget it. So in closing, we would like to thank Mr. Doug Fine for hanging out with us tonight and for letting us pick his brain and gather some information to share with all of you out there. We'd like to thank Blog Talk Radio for hosting our ever-consistent, always-dependable show now. Growers House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, and happy anniversary to Tumbleweeds coming up, please, everybody.
Yes.
TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. Come down for the big celebration. You'll win all sorts of medication if you're patients. There's giveaways, shirts, pens, all sorts of great things. Come down. Stay tuned next week. We have Project CBD. And Halloween, we've got the American Cannabis Nurses Association. My birthday's next month, and we've got a couple emails about people wanting to know where we're staying in Amsterdam for the Cannabis Cup. So, yeah, speaking of that.
She still hasn't given me my ticket, by the way.
I don't know. Someone's buying me my ticket. we've got the National Medical Marijuana Business Conference and VIP Gala is coming up November 8th and 9th in Colorado. Harm Reduction Conference is November the 15th through the 18th in Portland. Are you going to be there? Harm Reduction? Harm Reduction Conference.
I don't think so. But you know where I happen to be? Emerald Cup in December 15th in Humboldt County, which I'm really excited
about. Oh, cool.
And I'm so glad. I'm sorry to be cutting this off.
No,
Jeez,
let's worth keeping going. Yeah.
Are you going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Botanical Gardens introduced by the mayor. Odyssey, like, sustainability day kickoff. And so it's essentially a petroleum free one. Your talk from the previous book for Oma Subaru, but if folks want to come out and encourage and go, like people chant like for the musicians to play their hits, like tell us about cannabis.
Tell us about cannabis. There you go.
I'll be like, people have spoken.
Cannabis rock.
Thanks. What time?
I think it starts at 6 and they're asking people, it's free, but people bring two cans for a collection for Hungry Books.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
and
very good.
Tell us again if they can't remember all of that. DougFine.com.
Exactly. There's an events link there too, as an addition to fun writings and films and stuff, to tell you where to go tomorrow.
Absolutely. So go see Doug. Go see the mayor. Talk about sustainability. And listen to our radio show next week. And oh, I want to apologize when I put on a really groovy song. I had the little reggae gig going in the back, and I apologize. We'll play the song again in its entirety sometime. But for now, let's see if we can't do this right. So, remember, be smart, be safe, and educate. Thank you for joining Weed Day Wednesday. Yay. All right.